This morning, I want to talk about breaking out. I believe I'm talking to some people who are just about to get out of Egypt. You're just about to escape. Did you know just when you're about ready to escape the tractor beam of the enemy's plan for your life, the enemy usually tries to make you a deal? We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 8, 9, and 10, and we're going to look at the topic this morning, let's make a deal, and we're going to find out that when God is just about to deliver you into something new, the enemy will do anything to hold you in his tractor beam and to try to stop the progress that you're just about to make. Someone say amen. I'm talking to some people that are just about to get out of Egypt. Let me tell you this story. God has brought 10 plagues upon the wickedness of the Egyptians. Egypt, the type of the world. Pharaoh, the type of Satan. The children of Israel, the type of the children of God, redeemed through shed blood. And in the picture, we have 10 plagues that have swept through, and Pharaoh realizes his grip is just about broken on the children of Israel, and they're just about to leave Egypt, and they're going to take all Pharaoh's possessions with them. Whatever you came into bondage with, which is probably zero, that's one thing. You're going to come out with the riches of Egypt. And the people are just about to break through the tractor beam and come out, and Pharaoh offers them a deal. Four deals. Remember Money Hall's old show, Let's Make a Deal? Remember Jay? You know, what are you going to do? You want the $500 or do you want door number one? Oh, there's a burrow. Jay's got a burrow with a hat on. What did they ever really do with those burrows? I mean, did you put those in your Toyota and take them home? I don't know. But in Let's Make a Deal, you were always offered, you can have the $500 or door number one. And before you break out of bondage, and the children of Israel are postured to get out of Egypt, but the enemy is going to offer four compromises, and he's going to set conditions on their deliverance. Did you know the devil knows it's over for him in some of your lives? But he's still a liar. And up to the last second, he's going to act like he has some leverage and some power to try to talk you down. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, look at the eighth chapter, beginning in the 25th verse. We're in the middle of the story, and it says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, 'Go you sacrifice to your God in the land.' And Moses said, 'It is not meet or worthy so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us.'" Now I want you to notice condition number one is don't leave Egypt. Pharaoh says, okay, you got a religious revival going on here, but I'll tell you what, just stay in the world. Just stay in Egypt, okay? Yeah, you can do your religious thing, but don't really leave. You know, there's a lot of people who are under the tractor beam of allure and with regard to the things of this world. Egypt is a type of the world. It's a type of worldly things. It's a type of everything that would bind us in carnality. And you know, there's an awful lot of stuff out there in the world. I don't know if you've been looking recently, but the enemy wants you to just calm the heck down and stay in the world. You know, don't get all stirred up. This is deal number one. Yeah, worship, but stay here. Stay in the world. Don't leave. Don't leave. And you know what? God is delivering us from the things of this world. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go into pool halls and we don't smoke, drink, and chew and hang out with the girls that do it. Holiness, by the way, loved one, is not what you may think it is. Holiness is not defined by all you don't do. Holiness is defined by the wholeness and the health and the redemptive grace that rests in your life. We are supposed to wash dirty feet. We as Christians are supposed to be the salt down there at the point of corruption. We as Christians are supposed to not be offended by sinners. We are supposed to be offended by the enemy and by sin, but we are to love sinners, even though we hate the sin. And we get that confused sometimes. So we're supposed to be able to flow in this world and be in it, but not of it. But you know, the enemy's twist and turn. Deal number one is just stay with your dependency rooted in Egypt. Stay where the world is the sap of your life and it's the bloodstream. Well, guess what? There's nothing in this world that isn't going to burn. Everything you've got here is going to burn. You can't take it with you. I don't care what it is. You can't, because we will dig you up and take it off of you. You know, I remember one of the most pathetic symbols of this world and its powerlessness to save is in the life of Alexander the Great. When he was in his journeying, he came upon the tomb of Cyrus, the great king of Persia, who had been one of his heroes. And there was Cyrus's tomb with an inscription that said, "Whoever you may be that stumbles upon this tomb, please don't begrudge me this little piece of ground." And Alexander read the words of the man who had been the supreme potentate of the world, begging tomb robbers, begging them to show respect for his remains, because once you leave this world, you have no more power over what happens. And Alexander was so chastened by seeing that, that it says he laid out naked all night long in the cold elements and just chastened himself, realizing he himself would be one day in a tomb and would be powerless. Loved one, you can't take anything in this world with you. And so it's fair now to acknowledge that its pleasures, its pains, everything to do with it will one day be consumed. Let's fix our eyes on eternal things. Just as the children of Israel are about to leave, the devil says, "No, I want you to compromise and stay in the world." That's the first deal he wants to make. Here's the second deal. It's in chapter 8, verse 28, the next verse. And Pharaoh said, the devil will never stop. He's always going to keep, he keeps talking. You have to tell him, be muzzled in Jesus' name, because he'll never stop finessing, spinning, working, and twisting the truth. There's always enough truth and error to make it float. There's always enough truth and error to make it float. You know what that means? That means that there's all, when you're dealing with the devil, it isn't just a slam dunk black and white thing all the time. He's seductive. He twists the truth. There's always truth in what he says. He won't ever outright accuse you, usually, of something that is just completely over the top. There's usually just a thread of truth to it that make us all go, when we hear it. Maybe it's true. See, so the devil's first deal is stay in the world, be worldly, let this world be the source of your life. But when he realizes Moses is saying, no, God commanded us to leave. God's focusing all of us on his command. God said, leave Egypt. God said, I'm bringing you out with a high and mighty hand. And I want you to focus on what he's prophesied over your life. He is the one that has told you to move forward. We're going to move forward. He's the one that's told you it's time to shed the old skin and move into new seasons. We're going to move into new seasons, and we are not going to make a deal with the devil. He is lost. Don't make a deal with someone you've already conquered. But he's just a loudmouth enough to come in with his shark skin suit and his sunglasses and go, let me tell you what I'm going to do. When he already knows he's lost, he'll still try to leverage you at the blackjack table. He's still such a deceiver. He'll try to say, okay, everybody calm down. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. You just stay here in Egypt. And you shut up in Jesus' name. We're advancing. We're moving out. God said go. We're going. So he realizes Moses wouldn't buy, stay in the world. So look at the verse 28, the next deal. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. See? It's like, all right. So you won't, you're holy. You won't stay in the world anymore. Okay. Well, aren't we holy now? Well, don't go too far. He says, why don't you just, I know you got to leave Egypt, but just don't go too far. You know what? God's about to pour his spirit out, and it's a time when we've got to shout, and we've got to get excited, and we've got to actualize all our potentials, and it's time for all of our gifts, every one of our gifts, to begin to flourish, and it's time to get radical for God in who and what we are. That doesn't mean you need to scream or shout. All right, and then there's a place for that. But you know what? You just being you is a radical enough statement. But the enemy's going to try to get you to calm down. Just calm down. Don't get crazy. Don't get fanatical. Don't get emotional. Don't go outside the boundaries of the usual. Don't, just go a little way, but don't go too far. You know, it's so funny, Pastor Rick and I, we used to sit around and have meetings where we would talk ourselves out of an awful lot of stuff. Well, if we start home groups, then maybe someone will come in, and if someone comes in, they might dominate the home group, and they might take it over, and if they take it over, then they might bring false doctrine in, and then we'd finish the meeting, and we wouldn't have done anything with regard to home groups. Sometimes we can we can be in our little bubble and we can't get above a glass ceiling that's above our head, and we're afraid of fanaticism. I don't what that whole story means. I was scared to death of fanaticism. I thought, I don't want any extremes in the church. Well, you know what? We don't have to calm any of you down from swinging from the chandeliers yet. It's never happened yet. You haven't gone too far yet. But the night is young and the moon is yellow. So anytime, y'all feel led to shout, hey, you can go ahead and do it. But you know what? Satan, make first deal is stay in the world. If you say, no, I'm going out, he says, okay, deal number two, but don't go too far. Calm down. You know, one of the first perks to go along with any type of theological education is people with PhDs, which tell you basically, shh, calm down. Could we just calm down a little bit? When you're educated, you will have calmed down. I remember when I was like you, young and full of it. Sure. But you know, then I studied theology and became an absolute bore and a curse to everybody. No, I don't want to be that. But deal number one is stay in the world. And if you won't, then deal number two is okay, but don't go too far. Don't go too far. You know what? Go far. Be radically yourself, and God will radically be himself through you. You know, the most radical thing you can do is be you. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to imitate somebody else. God wanted one of you. He didn't have one of you, and he made one of you. So if you will be yourself, that is a radical assault against the enemy and his power. That is spiritual warfare. You being Don, you being Rick, you being Stephen, you being Joaquin, you being Jim, you being Mike, you being Tommy, you being Elizabeth. That's the greatest act of spiritual warfare you could do, is just be Tim Tucker. If you're Tim Tucker, be you. Don't be anybody else, and the Lord will be himself through you. That is a radical act against the enemy. So you know what? We're not going to play it safe. We're coming out. We're coming out. We're not going to take any deal with the enemy under any circumstance whatsoever. So when he said to Moses, okay, I know you're going out, but stay in the world. He said, we're not staying in Egypt. In fact, we're plundering Egypt and we're leaving. Okay, but don't go too far. We're going, not only going to go far, Pharaoh, we're going to kick your butt and we're going to take every bit of gold and silver and diamonds and jewels that you have. And we are leaving this jurisdiction. You will never have jurisdiction over us again. You know, there's a sense of healthy boldness that comes in you when you feel well loved. See, I've always had a bold personality, but I was never really bold internally. In fact, I had no internal infrastructure whatsoever beyond talking and having gifts, talents, and abilities. But I'm 50 now, and what I've learned is as I am well loved and as I receive the love of God deep into the deepest place of who I am, just because he loves me, just because I'm who I am, not for anything I do, but the more well loved I feel, the more there is a boldness coming from the inside out, which will push every devil out and will push everybody back to where they need to be. And it isn't being mean or rude, and it isn't constructing boundaries out of thin air. It's God filling up your little cup until it's filled to overflowing and it just runs over. That's the kind of boldness I'm talking about. That's what I mean by devil back out, we're coming out. It isn't shouting that, devil come out and shine my shoes on the way to the barbershop. It isn't that, because you can't. The devil looks at your empty vessel and hears you clanging that nonsense and he'll just take you down. You're just waving a flag in front of his nose. Hey, devil! I don't know if you saw the movie Constantine, not that you should, with Keanu Reeves, but there's a scene in it where a little guy who wants to be an exorcist tries to be an exorcist, and he gets aced. You don't want to go, you have dinner with the devil, you better have a long fork. Don't stir him up. Michael the Archangel even said, the Lord rebuke you. Don't be cocky. But Moses is full of the love of God and the confidence that's birthed on the inside. And from the inside out, he says, God said, go, we're going. Well, why don't you stay here? Deal number one, no. Okay, deal number two, just don't go too far. Moses says, we are going too far. We're going to go all the way out of your jurisdiction. There are some people here that need to hear this today. You're coming out. God commanded you to come out, and there's nothing that's going to hold you back. Nothing of this world's power will hold you back this time. Nothing of your own limits upon yourself will hold you back this time, because God's pushing you through. God's pushing you through. You can't hump and pump anything. I was woke up this morning and I was thanking God that he never answered any of my prayers the last 15 years in certain areas. I did. I walked around and I said, Lord, I want to thank you for saying no. Because I thought I was ready to do some things 15 years ago. And I wasn't ready. My little submarine would have collapsed like a tin can. You know, some of your submarines look good on the surface, but that's not what submarines are made for. You get them down 200 feet, and that's when we'll find out about your little tin can life. Up on the surface, everybody's real cocky, you know. How you doing? I'm a submarine. What kind of submarine are you? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, yeah, let's put him down 50 feet. You know, what's that? Get the bucket. You know, 100 feet. You know, some of you, you know, we talk a good talk on the surface, but get down. We are created for great. We're going to be those. Some of us are those Titanic subs that they send down to look at the Titanic. Have you ever seen that documentary on the Titanic? Those little weird looking goggle-eyed subs, those tiny little nasty things that one man fits in. I don't know what kind of a fool ever took that job. Hi, could I be claustrophobically placed in that little machine and stuck down? I don't know, where no vessel has ever gone before. What Dennis would go, hey, great. But, cool. What's the downside? Oh, I'm talking to a bunch of little Titanic subs here. You don't fit in anywhere. There's not room in you for 12 people. There's not. There's barely enough air for you to survive, but you go, I know I've been created for something. Yes, you have. You have. But you know what? Sometimes God is merciful, and he'll keep you in dry dock until you're ready to go down 300 feet. Come on. And did you know, as a little submarine, everybody looks good on the surface, but we find out where your real compatibility is as you go down. Some submarines go down 100 feet, some go down 200 feet, some go down 300, and you lose a few along the way you thought were equipped to go with you. But just let them stay. If they go down with where you are, you would kill them. And so God right now is causing some submarines not to be able to follow and track where the other submarines are going. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with those submarines. It just means they're not made to go where you're made to go. Be radically yourself. God will be radically himself through you. And don't listen to the devil's deal, which is don't go too far. Just calm down. I'm not going to calm down. I refuse to calm down. I've been too calm. Here's one little other tidbit. I was walking around the house this week, too. You know, after you deal with Dennis Haggard, you walk, but you walk with sort of a John Wilkes Booth limp after the leg broke. And I was walking around the house, and this idea struck me. It was like the Holy Spirit speaks to me in the oddest places at the oddest times. And I was walking in the front door of the house, wasn't thinking about God, could care less about anything spiritual, and I heard, Craig, you don't need to re-preach all your old messages. You don't need to rewrite them all. I'm just going to use all the messages from the last 35 years now. I'll tell you, do message A14B here, do message 214.5 there, do that. And that was a revelation to me. It was like simple. It's easy. He said, you've already done the hard work. Now I'm going to bring from that catalog, and those will be bullets in your gun, and then I just want you to shoot the gun. It's easy. It's easy. It's all done. I thought, oh, my God. You see, the Lord's calling you to be you with the resources you have, with the knowledge you have, with the wisdom you have. Don't listen to his deal in saying don't go too far. Be you. You are going too far. So we're coming out, and we're not going to make a deal. Now listen to the third deal. Okay, stay in the world. Moses says, no, we're not staying in Egypt. We're coming out. We belong to God. Okay, well, don't go too far. We are going too far. In fact, we're taking everything that you have. Here's the third deal. Going over to chapter 10, verse 7. It says, and Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. Then he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and our sons and our daughters and our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold the feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. In short, The next temptation is, go ahead, but leave your children here. That's what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said, okay, you're not going to stay in Egypt, the world, fine. All right, deal number two, don't go too far. No, we are going too far. Okay, I hear you. Okay, you win, Mo, you win. But leave your children here. Loved one, we are not going to let the culture raise our children. We're not going to be legalistic and weirdos for Christ, but we are not going to let the internet raise our children. We're not going to let the games raise our children. We're not going to let exclusively the peers raise our children. What we have in Christ is going to be multi-generationally passed on to our little ones. Satan is interested in our kids. That's where he strikes. See, he strikes at the thing that is the dearest to your heart. And if he can't take you down and you're alive today, so he hasn't taken you down, he'll try to take something down that is precious to you. But did you know Pharaoh is going to be disregarded here? Moses says, we are not going to let this type of the world rule our kids. We are not going to leave. You men, go ahead. Leave the kids. No, we're not. And I believe with all my heart, the best way we can raise our children is to be the real deal ourselves. I've never raised my kids and told them, you're the pastor's daughter or the pastor's son, shush, don't dress that way, don't talk that way, not at all. I'm trying to live the best life I can live, loving Jesus, caring for them in his name, but I will not be a dictatorial preacher type over my kids where they hear me preach in the pulpit and I'm beating them at home. That's just not my personal cup of tea. And I don't think the way we can raise them is a way of forcing our faith on them. We can raise them in a good context. We can be, Exhibit A is the biggest way to raise your children. You be Exhibit A. You be what it looks like for a man or woman to fall in love with Jesus. And you be able to say, I'm sorry when you sin, because you're going to sin and you're going to disappoint them. But you know what? You need to teach them to love imperfect people, because that's all you're ever going to find out. There are imperfect people. So you need to be a good enough dad or a good enough mom. You'll never be a perfect mom. You'll never be a perfect dad. But here's the point. We have got to set our resolve that the enemy is not going to have our kids. Start praying that the Spirit of God put a revival on your child. Start praying the fire of heaven upon them. Because you know what? Faith isn't contagious. They have to come to an age of accountability where they will make their own decision. But I love it. Deal number three, let me have the kids. No, Moses says. We are all going out. And here's the fourth deal. First deal, stay in the world. No. Okay, second deal, don't go too far. Don't go crazy. Just stay close by. No, we're not staying anywhere near you. Third deal, will you go ahead and live your Christian life in the public ministry, but give me your kids? No, you won't have my children. No. And the most important, you know, there's a lot of kids in ministry that get lost because their mom and dad are out so busy saving the world that they don't give a hang about the kids God's made them a steward of, and that's a plague in the body of Christ. But we're not going to allow that. Amen? And the fourth deal, here's the final deal, verses 24 and 26 of chapter 10. Here's the final one. Pharaoh says, okay, you won't stay in the world. Okay, you're not going to just stay close by. Okay, I can't have your kids. But we'll conclude with this one, verse 24 to 26. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord only. Let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be an hoof left behind. No one left behind. Fourth deal is, okay, you won't stay in the world, okay, you're not going to stay close by, okay, I can't have your kids, but leave your wealth here. Give me your possessions. Give me your money. Do you know how many Christians get born again and then burn their Renoir paintings or something, or renounce their wealth and give it to a Buddhist, or do some crazy thing with their possessions? Well, I got saved and gave up all my four summer homes and gave the money to the devil. It's like, what? What? I quit motion pictures, you know? I don't want Brad Pitt to quit motion pictures. If he has a personal revival, let him keep making $50 million a film and he can tithe here. Why are we trying to leave our possessions with the enemy? Why do Christians have to be broke and the world have everything? Pharaoh says in its last attempt to make a deal, he goes, let's make a deal. Just, okay. Take your children, go all the way out of Egypt, but leave all your money here. No, Moses says. And we have to say with resolution, no, Satan, we're going out, we're going to obey God, we're coming completely out of Egypt, and we are not going to be held in your tractor beam anymore, and you're not going to get our kids, and you're not going to have anything to do with our gifts, our talents, our abilities, and our wealth. We're coming out. Loved one, don't be intimidated by this wicked pharaonic spirit, the spirit of Pharaoh that is still trying to make you believe he can finesse something. He's in control of nothing. Satan is in control of nothing in your life. God has spoken over your lives. I know he has. And it's a call to come out. And I believe this year and this, in fact, the next 10 years are a coming out time for many of God's people who have just been in the maturation process, the gestation process. Yeah, you've been pregnant with promise. Well, it's time to give birth. But we're going to give a birth all the way. We're not going to stop mid-birth and die on the table. Father, we thank you right now that we're not going to make a deal with the enemy. That every voice that would teach us to compromise right now, or back off right now, or lay back down right now, we will not heed the voice. We are not going to live in this world by its standards. We are not going to be cautious. We're going to go completely out of the window and above the glass ceiling. We are not going to leave our children at the mercy of the enemy, and we are not leaving our possessions at his disposal. We are going to plunder Egypt. We are coming out wealthy. We are coming out with every resource we've never had when we went in to bondage. We are coming out of bondage with more than enough. And Lord, I pray this over all of the men, women, boys, and girls hearing the sound of my voice, that they will be hopeful and empowered. And Lord, we will not give us an antidote that we will not make a deal with the enemy to compromise on his terms anything you've called out in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord some praise right there if you could. Bless your name.